This is the Old Time Religion Sunday, so I'm going to preach something so old-fashioned it's become an antique, and or teach something. It's so antique that people just keep it on their shelf. They don't take it out much anymore. And you people that know what I'm talking about here in Malachi chapter 3, stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God this morning. If you're happy here this morning, would you say amen? Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from the ordinances and have not kept them. What's the next word? Return unto who? Me, and I will return unto who? You. That's God promising something. You think God lies? No, God never lies about anything. The Word of God is true. Said the Lord of hosts, but he said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed who? Me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In what? Tithes and offerings. Then the next verse is what I want to lift as a text verse. Ye are what?
Cursed
with a what?
Curse.
Because ye have robbed me, even this whole what? Nation. Then he says in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes. He just talked about the tithe and into the where?
Storehouse.
And drop down a little further. Said, proving now wherewith, when I open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, you don't have room enough to receive. Look at verse number 11. And I will rebuke who?
The devourer.
I want to have you underscore that word devourer. I'll tell you who he is in just a few minutes. And so I want to teach you this morning on the gambling game. The gambling game. God said the tithe doesn't belong to you. And God said, I'll bless you if you give it back to me. Or if you just give it to me in the first place. I'll bless you, but if you take it, I'll what? I'll curse you. So you don't want to gamble with God's tithe and offering. So I want to teach you about that this morning. And this will be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to your family, and it'll especially be a blessing to your church, because here's where everything happens on the gospel. 99% of all that we do happens from the local church. The rest of it is when you're home and out and abroad and doing your work with the gospel. But the work of the ministry comes through here, and God wants that tithe to come through the storehouse. So let's pray about it this morning. Ask God to help us. Father, I pray you'd bless this morning. Thank you for the old-time religion. I pray you'd use the words of God in Sunday school. Jesus' name, amen. What was my deadline on time? What was it? 15 after, okay, thank you. Thank you for that. I wasn't listening. That's why I didn't do too good in school, amen. The greatest hindrance of the local church today is that people are taking God's tithes and offerings and playing the gambling game of prosperity. They keep their own money, they use their own money, and they don't give what God calls a tithe. So what is a tithe? A tithe is a debt you owe God, which is 10% of 100. That's God's money. You wouldn't have it unless God gave it to you. So God said, I want 10%. I think it's pretty good that God wants that God lets us keep the 90% share, and he only wants the 10% share. Then he said the tithes and offerings. So what's an offering? An offering is an expression of love above the tithe. Because you love the Lord, you give above and beyond what's required of you. But God requires you to give. If you're saved, he requires you to give a tithe and an offering. You say, when am I responsible when you get saved? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is what?
Sin.
That means a double whammy. You look it up and God said, I'll add worse things to your life if you don't do what I tell you. So God has always wanted an offering, even in the days of Cain and Abel. You remember that story. And he wants it on time, and he's very jealous of the tithe. He's very jealous of the offering. And just as sure as you're saved, the Bible said you're getting a curse if you take from God. And then God said, if you take it, return it. Isn't that what you read with me a while ago? If you take the money, then return that money. So the Lord wants us to return it. And they ask him, well, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offering. Do you know you can be cursed if you just give a tithe only and not give an offering? Do you know that you can be cursed if you just give offerings and never tithe? Now, this has become a dinosaur. Many churches don't believe in tithing anymore. It's something they just put on a shelf. It's a relic you can look at anymore. But God requires it. Amen. You say, well, it's just Old Testament. Read 1 Corinthians. You'll find it in the New Testament as well. It's there. And God tells you when to bring it and what to bring. So then the Bible said that that a nation is cursed. I believe that our country is robbing God on a regular basis. Taking what belongs to God, keeping it for themselves. Now, there are all kinds of problems when people don't have money. We've seen it. We've experienced it. We know it. There are social problems. There are family problems. There are emotional problems, spiritual problems, physical problems. There are two very interesting scriptures that God has planned for man to give money and to receive money. The Bible said in Luke 6:38, men shall give under your bosom. So we give unto each other. That's the way a man receives. Another verse the Bible said in Ephesians 4 and verse 28, let man labor working with his hands. So God said, you want something, you work for it. Which is something America doesn't believe in anymore. But you may ask, well, when will I receive my sowings? The Bible said in Luke 6:38, men shall give. That means now. Men shall give. Now. In Mark 10:29-30, the Bible said, now is the time. N-O-W, now is the time. Malachi 3:10, we read a while ago, under heaven. When do you give? Now, while you're alive. Under heaven. So pity the poor penny pincher that steals God's tithes and offerings on a regular basis and plays a gambling game of prosperity. That money belongs to God. Let me give you some quick things here. I hope that you'll write some of them down or remember some of them. Number one, are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Number one, God will treat you the way you treat him. I can prove it over and over in the Bible. God will treat you the way you treat him. In the matter of your soul, I believe lordship comes before stewardship. You don't get give to go to heaven, do you?
Right.
You make sure you get saved. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So you don't put the cart before the horse. You make sure you do what the Lord tells you to do in the matter of your soul. Christ is my Lord. He owns me, and he has my life, and I ought to be willing to live the 100% and give to him in the 100% and not just the 10%. Truth is, my wife and I quit tithing a long time ago. Because the Bible said you're cursed with a curse if you don't give the tithe and offering. I don't want to be cursed, so I give tithes and offerings. Amen. Make sure I give over and above, because I don't want that curse on my life. But Christ is Lord. He ought to be preeminent in your life. The Bible is prosperity. Joshua 1:8, the Bible said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt find good success. Matthew 4:4, the Bible said, but he answered and said unto, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So in the matter of your soul, lordship comes before stewardship. Not the other way around. A lot of people think they can buy their way to heaven, but you can't do that.
Right.
The next thing is, in the matter of your giving, the Bible said there's a curse if there's no giving. Did you read that with me a while ago? A curse if you rob God. The Bible said you're cursed. Ye are. Ye are cursed with a curse. A person can tithe, as I mentioned a while ago, and still rob God. And vice versa. He can give and still rob God. The Bible said, ye are cursed. Well, why are you cursed? Because we don't believe God. God told us to do it, and yet we don't do it, so we disbelieve what God said. There are all kinds of troubles about not tithing and not giving, And that is troubles and problems. Something goes wrong at work, repairs, the bottom falls out when you think you're on top. All kinds of trouble with not giving. When you rob God of the tithe and the offering, then you'll have problems with family, and you'll have problems with debtors and creditors and health and job and neighbors. You'll have trouble with understanding and feelings and spiritual growth. We could go on and on and on. People have trouble with money. Money, truth is, trouble follows money. And if you're not honest about your money, it is even worse and worse and worse. It's not wrong to make money. It's not wrong to have money. It's wrong to take money from God. Right. In the matter of your surroundings, the Bible said even this whole nation is cursed. Our whole surrounding is cursed when God's people don't tithe. Now, we blame everybody for the trouble of this country, but we need to blame ourselves. Because if Christians were doing what we should be doing, then we wouldn't be in this trouble. We blame government. We blame credit spending. We blame the Russians. No, we blame the Russians. We blame them for everything. But it's our problem. Amen. You don't hear that on TV. Right. And you don't hear it in the pulpit much. The Bible said even this whole nation. Think about it. Here's a thought. Famine, immorality, wars and drought and inflation, two-wage earners in the family, unemployment, disease, incurable. I wonder if America's not being cursed. As a matter of fact, she is being cursed. All because of our non-tithing. I know you may not believe that, but I'm just quoting the Bible. Number two, you still with me? I better get off of that because people had a bad Sunday school already. Number two, it is old-time religion Sunday. Number two, God will give you with only that he can trust you with. He'll treat you the way you treat him, number one. He'll give you that only he can trust you with. Are you trustworthy with God's money? Again, it's not your money. You said, I work for it. Well, you wouldn't work for it unless you had that job that God gave you. Are you listening to me? Deuteronomy chapter 8 says we swap out God for pride and we forget God, we transfer our love of money, our love of God for the love of money. And when we have a need, we ask amiss, and on it goes. James 5 said it's like rusting riches. He said it's like bags with holes in it. The world's always trying to get rich. Have you ever noticed they're trying to get rich on all kinds of schemes, and yet there are strikes and work stoppages and cost of living and holdouts and walkouts and over wages and benefits. But unscriptural riches will cause a curse in your life. God hates living purely for worldly pleasure. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So in other words, if we build up things that are the world of the world and live for things of the world and we don't include God in our life, we're headed right for a cursing, headed right for God's curse on our life. Number three, you still with me? Number three, God will withhold. Listen to this. God will withhold prosperity if there is no faith in God. Remember in Mark chapter 11, he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, woe unto thee, Capernaum, woe unto thee, Sodom and Gomorrah. For if the works would have been done to you as they were in Tyre and Sidon, you would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it'd be more tolerable for them than for you. Why? Because they believed God and you didn't. The Bible said it's more blessed to what? Give than receive. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Luke 6:38, the Bible said, give and it shall be given. I didn't say these words. God said them. Let me give you number four. Number four, listen to this. We're getting a little bit deeper in what I want to say here. God wants you to give his share. God wants you to give him his share of all blessings received. All blessings received. Now, if you've taken money from God, maybe you conveniently forgot. Maybe you went out of town and you just didn't tithe. Guess what? According to the Bible, you still owe it. Leviticus 27, 30 and 31. You turn there while I'm talking about it. Leviticus 27, 30 and 31. Mark this in your Bible. The Bible said if a man would at all redeem the ought, he said, what's the ought? That's what you stole. That's what you took from God. Something you stole from God. If a man will at all return the ought of his tithe, he will add thereto the fifth part thereof. Now, I'm no mathematician, but what's five into 100? 20%. The fifth part thereof. So God said, if you took the tithe, give it back. But you know, God was a banker long before the bank system ever started. You ever took a loan out from the banker and you missed a few, you were late on a few of them, you got to the last payment, said, well, I'm done with all my payments, and the bank said, oh, no, you have a surcharge. You were late. So God says, you pay that tithe back, but you add 20% to it. Now, I can't prove this, but I believe God withholds when you withhold. And I believe God prospers you and helps you and blesses you when you do what's right. I can't prove it from the Bible, but I believe that as soon as you start giving the Bible payback program, I believe God begins to bless you and lift that curse. I believe it with all my heart. I was in Wyoming years ago, and I said something like the Bible paybacks, and a couple came to me weeping and crying after the service was over, hung around to talk to me. They said, we've never tithed. We have a mansion. We have a yacht. We have this. We have that. What do we do? I said, well, number one, you need to ask God to forgive you for not tithing. How long have you been saved? They said, a long time. I said, you've not tithed all this time of your salvation? No, we didn't know. I said, well, you do know now. I said, when do you think you're responsible? I said, have you known that you're supposed to tithe? Oh, yeah, we've known about it. We just haven't done it. What do we do? Can we ask God to forgive us? I said, yeah, let's kneel right here. Let's ask God to forgive you. And I said, they asked God to forgive us. I said, now while you're at it, ask God how much you stole from him. Sir? I said, if you stole it from God, he probably knows how much it was. Hello, Baptist. You want God to forgive you? You do the Bible paybacks. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. So how do you do it? You give your tithe. That's 10%. The tithe that you owe this week, or the tithe when you get your income. If it's biweekly or monthly or weekly, however it is you get your income, you tithe 10% on it. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
If you went out of town or on a vacation or you got backslidden and you forgot, you've been out of church 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Hello? Pay it back. Get out those little stubs of your salary and figure out how much you earned and didn't pay in a tithe. But that's not all. You give your tithe, you give your back tithe, and you add 20% to it. Say, how much is that? 40%. A tithe, the back tithe, and 20%. Am I getting through? It is old time religion Sunday, isn't it? Then why do we rob God and feel like we're getting away with it? According to the Bible, I didn't say it. God said you're cursed with a curse. If you take the tithe, if you take the offering. He said, give it back. You've robbed me. Give it back. Now, if I had a big thermometer up here from cold to hot, to lukewarm to hot, to very hot. If you're not tithing, you're cold. If you start tithing, you're at normal temperature. If you give over and above, you're getting very hot. If you give sacrificially, over and above the tithe, I believe God's beginning to take the curse from you. I believe that God begins to bless you. I believe that's the love of God, and he loves us. Maybe you deliberately did it. I don't know what you did, but it's between you and the Lord. I can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. I know a lot of people say, well, let the money bags pay it. I'm not going to give one penny more. I've heard all the excuses, so have you. According to the Bible, we owe it. We owe it. Problems will get worse if you don't. Problems will add up if you don't. So pay it back. And where do you pay it back? According to Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10, you pay it to the storehouse. The storehouse is where they brought the tenth of what they had gained. Where the fruit of the land or the seed of the field. You brought it all in, and from there it was dispersed. You bring your money here, you disperse it out to the rest of the world from this church by their discretion, by God's will in their life. You had a missions gift this morning that all is dispersed from here, but you give it and it adds a lot more. You get a blessing to that. You have a wonderful blessing. My daddy, when I was a kid, he said, we want to put a missionary on the field. His name was Gerald Rose. He was in Cuba. Then he was in Peru. And he has had a large family. But the way he got there was my mom and dad, we were in a missions conference. And my dad got the burden to get all the containers he needed and ship them over there. We didn't have the money to do it. We were just young children. We didn't understand what daddy was doing. But daddy decided, he wept about it. He cried about it. God laid it on his heart. And he'd get our family together at the table. He said, we're going to find a way to ship those containers of furniture and needs that they have to get over to the mission field. Get this. We, back in the days when you could redeem a Coke bottle for 5 cents. Anybody remember that? We'd drive back when you could ride in the back of a pickup truck. Remember that? We were five of us kids. The dad and mom would get us in the back of a pickup truck, and we'd ride around until we found Coke bottles. We lived in Dallas, Texas. There's a whole lot of Coke bottles on the side of the road. We'd pick them up, put them in brown paper bags and boxes, and we'd take them to Mitchell's grocery store. It was smaller than your auditorium, and they sold ice cream for a nickel a dip. Hallelujah for ice cream. Glory be to God. Bluebell ice cream. You ever had Bluebell? Ooh, if I start struggling this morning, just put my head in a bowl of Bluebell and let me go. Amen. But as a little kid, we'd get that ice cream for doing that. Then he'd have us take that money, and he'd have us take it to church in a missions envelope. And it wasn't too long that our little family, raising up money to have Gerald Rose. And the reason I tell you that story, how they got to the mission field, is that my mom and dad had their 50th wedding anniversary several years ago. Dad's in heaven now. Mom's still alive. Mom wanted to have a renew the vow kind of thing. Dad didn't like it. He said, I married you once. What I got to marry you twice for? But anyway, it was just a thing Daddy did. You had to know my dad. He's an old boilermaker. And so anyway, while they were up there renewing their vows, in walked a large congregation of people. It was the Gerald Rhodes family, all of the children now married. Some of them have children of their own. He paid his own way to come back to the States, paid his own way to come to this anniversary of 50 years wedding. And he began to walk. He broke up the whole service, began to walk right toward the pulpit. And he came and they filled up the platform of our church. He took over the microphone. My mom and dad began to weep. He said, this man is the reason why we're on the field, and began to quote how many hundreds of thousands of people got saved. A college that got started here and there, churches that got started all over the place. Are you listening to me? If you want to be blessed, you do what God tells you to do, even if it's in a Coke bottle. Amen.
Amen.
You do all you can do. The next thing, still with me, say amen.
Amen.
I got to hurry or you won't hear the rest of it. I know some are wishing I wouldn't tell the rest of it. Number five, stay with me. God responds much greater and more abundantly to love giving. All through the Bible, God says, prove your love. He said it in Malachi. He said it in 1 Corinthians. He said it in Proverbs. Prove your love. Prove your love. Prove your love. And so God wants you to give. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9, he said, give the first fruits of all thine increase, of all your substance, and all thine increase, give the first fruits. So what does that mean? That means before you spend a dollar of what you have income as income, you give the 10% first, right off the top, to the Lord. Now, maybe you can't trust yourself with it. Maybe you do it, it's already in your plans. You've got it ready to go for Sunday or whenever you get your income. But if you can't trust yourself with it, fill the check out, run it up to the church financial secretary, and make sure it gets in the kitty before you get cursed over it.
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth, God expects first fruit giving.
Amen.
The first. Oh, if we could learn that, my friend. And you just then the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7, to give cheerfully. Anybody ever looked up that word cheerfully? I know your pastor's told you before. That word cheerful means hilarious. I've been an evangelist for 49 years. I've never seen people running up and down the aisles with an offering plate and somebody say, "Woohoo, glory to God," unless it was a hallelujah offering, then you're made to say hallelujah. But God said you give hilariously. Hilariously. It ought to be, thank God, I get to give it so I don't be cursed over it. Amen. Let me give my last point. See, glory to God, hallelujah. If he'll just shut up, we'll get out of here. Number six on old time religion Sunday. Number six. God wants sacrificial giving for a much greater blessing. God wants sacrificial giving for a much greater blessing. Teenagers, you ought to learn this. Those children that were in here ought to learn how to tithe. You listening to me? My daddy taught us how to tithe. As a little child, the reason why, he said, I don't want you to grow up and be cursed. I've been in the ministry, like I told you, for almost a half a century. Something go wrong while we travel. Brother Boyd, my mentor, Dr. Joe Boyd, you'd say, son, you're not truly called to evangelism unless you break down every trip. Not some trip, but every trip. I'd break down. I'd call Dad and said, I'm broke down somewhere in California. I'm broke down somewhere in Arizona. And Dad said, son, first thing he'd say, I'm his son. First thing you say, son, are you tithing? Are you tithing? Well, it makes sense. It makes sense. So God wants you to tithe. Malachi 3 and verse number 10, the Bible said, prove me now. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8 and 24, God said, prove the sincerity of your love. Prove the sincerity of your love. Luke 6, 38, the Bible said, the giver becomes the receiver. The giver becomes the receiver. Given, it shall be given. Proverbs 11, 24, the Bible said, the more that you give, the more that you have to give. It's a wonderful thing to know that you can be blessed of God in more ways than one. But God expects this church to survive. Do you know that this church cannot survive on the tithe alone? Do you know that this church cannot survive on your dollar bill offering alone? Or a $100 bill offering alone? This church survives on the tithe and the offering and the sacrificial love gift. Amen. Now, I'm an evangelist. I don't get your tithe. It goes to the local church. Anything that comes to me is over and above the tithe and your missions project and your budget of your church and all the programs of giving that you're already involved in. You don't sacrifice that if you've already pledged it to God. Amen. So as Baptists, let's get right about these things. And if we want God's work to really thrive, and it has here for years, because I know that you've been taught this through the years. But we need to be reminded, don't we? Amen. We need to be reminded. I want you to close your Bibles, and I want you to listen to me just for a minute. Don't let anything distract you. And we're going to close with this part, which won't be an altar invitation, but it'll be a pew invitation. Heads are bowed, nobody looking. I don't want anybody to see a raised hand. But I wonder how many would say, Brother Taylor, I believe what the Bible says about first fruit giving. You say, Brother Taylor, I want to be true and honest with God about first fruit giving. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. Amen. I wonder how many would say, Brother Taylor, I believe what the Bible says about Bible paybacks, the truth of Bible paybacks. Brother Taylor, I want to live up to what the Bible said about paying God back what I might have taken from him. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. I wonder how many of you say, Brother Taylor, pray for me. I want to learn how to love, give. Give sacrificial love in my heart. You'd say, Brother Taylor, if something comes along and God lays it on my heart, I want to find out some way how God would let me do it. I want to learn how to give a love gift. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. And then I wonder how many would say, Brother Taylor, I need to learn how to give special giving. Kind of like what my dad did with Brother Gerald Rose. I want to learn to give special giving. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. The last one is this. Are you listening? Shake your head yes. The last one is, my faith is weak. God, help me to have increased faith about what the Bible says about tithing and giving. Pray for me. My faith is weak. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes. Oh, may God increase our faith. Father, bless this Sunday school hour. Thank you for the old-time religion. I pray you'd bless today in Jesus' name. Amen.